Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guests of honor today are Mr. Matt Green. He is the commercial account manager at Portico in Portsmouth, UK, and his colleague, Mr. Joe Jordan, who is the duty ports operations manager of the international division at the Port of Portsmouth. First and foremost, to both of you, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Likewise, and starting with you, Matt, I always, in my interviews, give the accused or the interviewee a chance to elaborate a little bit about their background. So, Matt, how come you are not sitting in a bank or driving a truck? Why are you in shipping?
I moved to Portsmouth from Oxford for university, and came out of university and found it difficult to get a graduate job. I basically made the decision that I would find a job where I could start at the bottom and work my way up sort of organically. So I started here 10 years ago.
Okay.
Started off as an administrator, worked in the distribution team, and now form part of the commercial team here at Portico.
Okay, interesting background. And for you, Joe, how come you're sitting where you're sitting?
Yes, well, I'm actually in the 28th year now, believe it or not, at the International Port. And it was whilst I was studying in college, my parents worked on the port, and I needed a part-time job. So I came to the port part-time while I was studying, and that progressed into a full-time career. Initially, with one of the shipping companies, Brittany Ferries. I was with them for 10 years. I moved across to the Port Authority and progressed through from port control, doing various jobs up to the operations manager.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it seems that... I got it. It seems you both have found happiness to be in shipping. And of course, being in a famous port like Portsmouth certainly looks like has done you both well. Matt, I understand since you are the commercial account manager of Portico, perhaps for our viewers, just explain Portico. What is that in effect in Portsmouth? What does that entail?
So Portico, as part of Portsmouth International Port, we're owned by Portsmouth City Council. We're run as a separate trading entity. We essentially operate the general cargo terminal here at Portsmouth, whereas Joe, I'm sure he will give a little explanation, but they run the cruise and the ferry side of the port.
Okay, so when you say general cargo terminals, so there is, of course, Portsmouth is not, let's say, so much on people's radar screen compared to like Immingham or Rotterdam or stuff like that when you talk general cargo, but you do have a general cargo terminal. What can you tell us about your general cargo terminal? You have a regular calls there?
So with the basics, we operate two general cargo keys, capable of handling vessels up to 230 metres in length.
Okay.
We handle a wide range of cargoes, project cargo, break bulk, bulks. We've got three liner services each week with connections to the Caribbean, Central and South America.
Okay.
West Africa. The Channel Islands. So we've got a pretty broad range that we offer here.
That's very interesting because I got to admit, I'm a novice when it comes to know-how about Portsmouth as such, and as I think many of our viewers are, as I said, it's not on the radar screen, but that you do have direct calls to the Caribbean and South America, that would be good for our viewers to know. So which lines do you have calling there regularly?
So it's a service by Geestlijn, who are owned by both JP Shipping and Seatrade. Seatrade part operate that service. It comes eastbound, predominantly with fresh produce.
Right.
And we then reload with general cargo, anything from personal effects to diggers, fire engines, which go westbound back out to the Caribbean.
Wow, fantastic. You mentioned South America as well?
Yes, so that same service.
Okay, sorry. So it goes Caribbean, South America. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. No, it's always like this. When you're above the radar screen, I used to live many years in China, and people always think, oh, China, that must be Shanghai. And the Chinese think that Denmark, that must be Hamburg. You know, so we we have to tell them that there are other ports out there that also can
Absolutely.
Do, right?
Absolutely.
Excellent. That's good to know. And of course, for the cruise industry, yes, there I have heard a lot about Portsmouth. So Joe, please elaborate, which cruise liner should I be on from your port next?
you can pick from a variety, by the way. We have many that will be coming, so you can take your pick. Okay. On the Portsmouth International Port, we are a municipal port, so we are operated by the local city council. I'll give you a bit of background. We were established in 1974 with one railway berth. We've mm-hmm. now advanced to five, which operate alongside the conventional quays. We have two major ferry companies who come in, Brittany Ferries and Condor. And obviously, we now are growing our cruise offerings.
Okay, wow. So how often would you say that you have passenger cruise vessels in port?
It's scheduled, so it can be seasonal, but we experience at the minute about 80 to 90 calls a year.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you have a lot of passengers going to and from, and that must mean a lot of logistics obstacles or problems and challenges, I guess.
We never have problems, only solutions. you can obviously have your challenges, but yeah, there's always a way to overcome them.
Of course, we can always
get around and provide the service.
Okay, and it's very important. You mentioned the Channel Islands because I need to go and get some funds collected there. So you can transport that in bulk, yeah.
Yeah, now,
no, just joking. It's when I lived in the UK, I visited Guernsey once, and I must say a couple of nice islands you've got there. So that means you have, in fact, cargo services to these islands.
Yeah, so actually, Portsmouth is a sort of a lifeline port to the Channel Islands.
Mm-hmm.
So on the port's coast side of the fence, we have a 3 times weekly low service. Which is containerized or done quite a lot of modular housing.
Oh, yeah.
Pieces. Okay. And it's a lot of building materials and things like that for the Channel Islands, all in 20-foot containers because there are restrictions on the roads in the Channel Islands.
Of course. Then
on Joe's side of the fence, one of their main customers also.
It's the Condor Ferries, twice daily service to the Channel Islands, providing that critical local line.
Okay.
I believe it's about 70% of the goods that get to the Channel Islands will come through us.
Very interesting. Now, it's like I said, it's good to know what Portsmouth can offer, and especially that thing that you can offer, because I'm running a network of project forwarders where I have about 240 members in two networks. I will definitely tell them that there is a possibility using Geest Line into Caribbean, for example, and South America. And even if some of them should have something into the Channel Island, they should look at Portsmouth. I think they simply wouldn't know it. So this is very good to know. How do you go about, if we start with you, Matt, how do you go about making sure that Portsmouth gets known so you get more, let's say, ship owners coming to call your port? How do you do that?
Yeah, so historically, we've always been known as a fresh produce terminal. That's been our core business for more than 30 years. But in the last sort of 4 or 5, maybe in 6 years, we've really started to diversify. And as part of that, like I said, it's about getting the name out there, making sure people know that we're here.
Yeah.
We've attended various trade shows, Breakbulk in Rotterdam,
yeah,
and also in Houston,
yeah,
Antwerp, XL, Multimodal here in the UK.
Right.
We've got quite an active presence on LinkedIn as well, just basically sort of showcasing our capabilities to the industry because, we can offer a really bespoke personal service, which perhaps you can't get from the bigger ports.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really about shouting about what.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with the saying bespoke and personal service that you can't get in the bigger ports. They tend to be too busy and let's say a whiff of arrogance too with many of the big ports. So I hear what you're saying on that. I've had some interviews with a couple of other smaller ports in Asia, also, for example, in Indonesia and elsewhere. So it's the same situation everywhere. Some of the ports that doesn't ring clearly, they can do exactly what the big ones can do at a much better, shall we say, cost and service level. So
we certainly what we hope to achieve. Yeah.
And you have storage facilities, you have lay down area, you have, let's say, space.
Yeah, so we've got a large quayside open storage area, which is great for project cargoes. We've currently got the third cargo in a modular housing project for Worthing, which is about 50 miles up the road from Portsmouth.
Yeah.
But that's a flexible storage area, meaning that we handle a wide range of cargoes. We've also got ambient warehousing for any cargoes that may need to be stored inside. Okay. And like I mentioned earlier, fresh produce is still a big part of our business. So we do have temperature-controlled warehousing as well.
Right. And one quick question here. Crane capacity in your area of the port. Do you have shore-based crane or
yes,
mobile
we've got
crane?
We've got four mobile harbour cranes.
Okay.
Two pairs, and with a lifting capacity with a tandem lift of up to 250 tons.
All right.
So we're pretty well equipped when it comes to project cargo. We've got a software in place that allows two cranes to be driven by one driver, which makes it really
cool.
Efficient.
That's very cool. Yes, excellent. That's really very impressive. And for the cruise terminal of Portsmouth, can you see that? Of course, Corona, I suppose, was a big thing, and it put a hamper on the cruise business. But can you feel that it's back again now for real?
Yes, definitely. There's definitely signs of recovery. It did happen slightly. I mean, we kept busy still during the period, having repatriations, etc. But there's definitely signs of recovery. It's very it's good to see.
Okay, yeah, excellent. So do you, now I understand that you joined these, let's say, expos around the world. Are you going to, in 2023 also, you're going to be present at the Breakbulk Rotterdam and the usual Antwerp XL?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. We've got stands already booked at both, so...
Okay, very good, but then...
You're going to see that, though, if you're
yeah, yeah. No, you can count on that. Normally, I always show up around lunchtime because I'm probably hungover from the night before. But
you're most welcome to stop by for a bit.
Yeah, you can count on that, definitely. And I think we should also make sure to inform our viewers in time that you will be there so they can come and see you. And I will inform the members we have in our networks to come around your booth and see what you can do. We were at the Antwerp XL as well, so now that I know you, I won't overlook you next time.
Absolutely, yeah, the more the merrier.
Sounds good. So that means, let's say I'm a project freight forwarder in Singapore and I have a project going into the UK and I would like to know or consider which port should I use. I'm the one that charter the heavy lift ship. If I want to know something about discharge costs and whatnot, he or she could contact you directly, Matt, right?
Yes, that is a big part of my job, is working with prospective clients and putting together costings. So essentially, I would be that middleman between the customer and our operations team.
Okay.
The operations team will look at a job, like I said before, come up with a bespoke solution. I then put a cost together for that and liaise directly with the customer in order to get their cargo in and out as quickly and as cost effectively as possible.
Yeah, and I, of course, with the location of Portsmouth at the south coast, I mean, it is pretty ideal coming in from either north or south or from Asia instead of going further up. So
and with the UK road network basically on our doorstep as well, you know, we can get cargo onto the motorway within 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay.
Which is a big plus for getting the cargo out quickly and where it needs to be.
Definitely. No. UK and inland transport, there's a lot of congestion. You know yourself how many people live on your small island there. So it can be quite tight. And for you, Joey, in one of the final things here in the cruise industry, do you see that let me ask, Portsmouth as a cruise port, is that because of the location of Portsmouth, or was it traditionally always so that correct me if I'm wrong, when you had the war against the Falklands, wasn't it Portsmouth that we had all these pictures from where the ships steamed out from? Wasn't that Portsmouth? Or was it
more than likely? I was a little young then, bro.
Okay.
I was a wee boy at that
point. I just remember Margaret Thatcher. She was standing there, and everybody was waving the flags. And
we have a Royal Navy, so it's a great city to offer for the crew as well. And we deal with roughly a 50-50 split on embark and cruise calls.
Mm-hmm.
But we have many world class attractions here on our doorstep.
Yeah.
So wherever you are on embark or you are a cruise call, we can be part of that itinerary. You can come down the day before you embark. There's plenty of attractions to see. Okay. Same on call. There's plenty to do.
Okay. And how do you go about making sure, like we know from Matt how he does getting the cargo side out, but how do you do for the cruise side? Where do you promote yourself, so to speak?
It's very similar. So you have cruise fairs, so we have representatives who attend. Social media. We maintain very close work relationships with a lot of cruise companies now. The relationships are establishing. We have close contacts. We can build. They can visit us. We're always making sure they know what we can offer.
Right. Excellent. Very, very good. No, it seems like you're on the ball, both of you, promoting your port, and that's certainly something I like to see. The final question I have, starting with you, Matt, looking into the crystal ball and the cargo crystal ball, so to speak, what do you foresee for 23?
Well, I think for us, there's lots of big infrastructure projects going on here in the UK. So we'll certainly be looking to get involved with those. There's a big push for sustainability in supply chain. And I think that's where local regional ports like ours can really come into our own and get that cargo closer to where it needs to be in order to save your carbon emissions.
Right. Yeah. That's a big sales thing now, that you get as close to the actual job site as you can be. So it's the future looks bright for you in that respect. And of course, you mentioned renewable and sustainable. That is the buzzword now. How about for you, Joe? How do you foresee the 23 in cruise?
I believe it's going to be an exciting year for us. I mean, during the pandemic, we completed the extension of one of our berths, our berth 2. This enabled us to cater for larger vessels up to 300 meters and concentrate on that small to medium luxury boutique.
Okay.
There's a project ongoing at the moment, a 13.5 million terminal extension.
Okay.
So this is going to give us a third departure gate, which effectively can be a dedicated cruise facility and enables us to operate much smoothly and efficiently.
Right.
It's just going to improve the service we can offer. I know there's exciting times once it's completed.
Very good. And the very, very final question I just have to put to you here, Joe, is I suppose there's been a reduction in the number of Russian yachts coming in.
if they come in, they're likely to stay for a long time.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I saw one of them in Hamburg recently doing a port tour. I think it was 500 million euro investment that oligarch has made in one of his yachts. And it was transported away in the darkness without engine. So it's now been stored somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. that's big politics. Let's leave that aside. Listen, gentlemen, I want to politics. We all are tired of. I want to say really many thanks to you, Matt, and also to you, Joe, for giving content to this interview. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And, thank you both for having us.
Thank you. Okay.
Anytime. So to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great, of course, interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guests of honor today has been Mr. Matt Green, commercial account manager at Portico in Portsmouth, the UK, and his colleague, Mr. Joe Jordan, duty port operations manager, international division, also in Portsmouth. Most capable and proactive gentlemen, so do consider Portsmouth as your next port of call, so to speak. Stay tuned for more interviews in the near future for Project Cargo Weekly. Thank you.